This is John Cackley with Centric Biz and Tech Talks. Today, we're presenting webinar number 2 on citizen development, featuring Joe Carnes and Britt Quate.
Welcome to Citizen Development, how business and IT teams can achieve more. My name is Kelly Caldwell, and I'll be moderating today. So before we go through our speaker introductions, I'd like to go over a few housekeeping items. We'll do a short recap from our part 1 of this series that happened on May 20th. And then we'll dive more into citizen development and Centric's 9 steps for success. And then we'll close out with a Q&A. And now we're going to move into our speaker introductions. We have Joe Carnes and Britt Quate, both on our enterprise collaboration team here at Centric. Joe is a senior architect with over 20 years experience architecting and implementing solutions, as well as providing strategic guidance. Joe brings a wealth of knowledge around Microsoft collaboration technologies and supporting technologies. We also have Britt Quate, who is a senior manager with 15 years experience helping customers with their digital transformation and process automation initiatives. Britt does a fantastic job at taking complex business requirements and turning them into effective business applications. So now I'm going to hand it over to Britt to kick us off.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us yet again as we continue on the citizen development journey together. We're going to start with a also brief recap of our last session where we explained citizen development, who is doing it, and why. So if you remember, or if you didn't come to the last session, I'd like to reintroduce you to Mr. Macro, or perhaps Ms. Macro. Mr. Macro maybe needs no introduction. He is the one who is your local IT department, the person that you go to when you need some help with something that's technical, the person who has been wearing a smartwatch since 2010 and has automated an entire routine in his house. He's the guy who maybe gives your IT department a little bit of heartburn because he's perhaps secretly annexing some of their territory by creating some business applications using the tools that are available when he's not able to get his way easily with IT. It's just, well, I'm going to do this myself. And Mr. Macro is important because he's the epitome of what it means to be a citizen developer, a person who's very curious about technology, adept with technology, but is not in an official IT capacity. And while Mr. Macro is absolutely an extreme end of citizen developer, just the thought of having these tools available within the business that they can be able to create these applications without the need of IT is really at the heart of what citizen development is about. Well, what is a citizen developer? A citizen developer, in my more maybe cutesy definition, is the ability to write applications with your mouse, right? Not the typical sitting and typing out code on your keyboard. You don't need a server. You don't need to have a code academy. You just need to be able to use a drag and drop interface, templates that have been made available, business logic that is already in these tools to be able to make sense of the business applications that you need to use so that you can build them yourself. It's like a Visio come to life or a truly co-editable Excel that doesn't have all the macros in it. One of some things that are really great from an IT perspective about these low-code or no-code tools is they really simplify the development life cycle and the ability that these can be wholly owned within the business and maintained within the business and used within the business and perhaps cataloged by IT. But for the most part, they're able to provide those tools and then take a step back and allow the lines of business that really have the expertise and what it is that needs to be done and delivered to do and deliver those things and leave IT to focus on more value-added, innovative enterprise app level or client customer-facing applications. When we talk about low and no-code tools, we're talking about a lot of different stuff. And some of this might be new to you. Some of these might be things that you're already using and you didn't really think about them as citizen development. And we can think about their types of maturity or their complexity, perhaps, in 3 different categories. So the first would be task automation. So having workflows that send notifications or approvals, being able to take data input from people in something like a smart form. And the next would be workflow automation. And this would be a more end-to-end process that perhaps has some human interaction with it, but we're able to connect multiple systems, push data together, report on data or analyze it at a certain level. And then at the most complex, we have reasoning automation. And this would be intelligent processing, machine learning, chatbots, where we're having conversations with customers or end users to be able to get a resolution on a particular item. And these will encompass the things that you see on the lower half of this slide, like RPA, or robotic process automation, to be able to automate things that are happening on the screen, very focused on task automation. Intelligent document processing, maybe doing manipulation with forms or PDFs, or being able to generate documents from discrete pieces of information, all the way to things that I mentioned, like chatbots or machine learning or sentiment analysis is another one that we're seeing more of that's very exciting, being able to understand somebody's mood as we're engaging with them and then being able to respond and the like. So a lot of cool things that are all within the realm of what these citizen development tools are capable of doing. And with that, we'll move into our first poll. Hand it back to Kelly.
Yep. Okay, so the first poll is, what type of citizen development tools are you using? And you can select more than one here. So we have enterprise workflow, app builders, chatbots, RPA, or none yet. So I'll give you guys a second to select your answers. All righty. So it looks like we have 33% with enterprise workflow, 29% with app builders, a low 4% with chatbots, 29% with RPA, and it looks like most people 46% with none yet.
Think about that. I'm actually surprised at how many people say they're not using these tools. I think in the last webinar, we were surprised at how many had at least experimented with the idea, and here we're seeing close to 50% have not really touched these. And I'm also surprised, not in a good or bad way, but the usage of RPA, because I think this is something a lot of people talk about. It's buzzy, but it's great to see that 30% are actually using some sorts of RPA, because it's really powerful and useful, and I'm glad to see that. What we are here to talk about is how you get started on your citizen development journey. And seeing that close to 50% of the folks on this presentation are at this point, this is going to be some really great information for you. And for the other 50% that are already on your way, I think thinking about where you are on this ladder of, are you thinking about citizen development? Does it already exist? You're most likely not at that top level where it's thriving and it's part of the fabric of everything that you do and it's just working so well. If you want to get to the point where you are now thinking and doing citizen development, we've got a plan for you, because there's no big bang to rolling out citizen development, but it doesn't have to be chaos either. And if you think about maybe an attempt at your company, something I've seen a lot is like people thinking about launching a social network within their organization has often faltered. Well, perhaps they didn't think about it right. They were just putting it out there, waiting for somebody to discover it. And we need some guidance on how to bring us through this journey. And that's what we're talking about today. Centric, we've developed three phases to help you get launched with your citizen development initiative. And they are discover, define, and deliver. At a high level, Discover is exploring the destiny of citizen development and potential derailments. You want to understand what's already out there. Define is going to be giving some shape to what it is that we learned in the discovery phase, ultimately coming up with a strategy for your citizen development, for the processes and the tools and the ongoing governance initiative. And then we move into deliver, which is absolutely the fun part. And actually, I would say, a bit cyclical, which is not represented here, that we're constantly delivering new pieces of functionality or training to continue to improve what it is that we're doing with citizen development. Within each one of those phases are three steps for a total of 9 steps for citizen development success. And we'll be going through each one of these in more detail on a dedicated slide. So follow and count down along with us. Phase one is discover. Phase one, step one, ideate. So this is where you just close your eyes, get yourself into a room, and have a little bit of catering, start just thinking about some really big thoughts. And you want to think about what's exciting. Always start with what's exciting, what's possible. Just really put it out there, no bad ideas. And then we can focus on why some things might be a little bit scary or a little bit out of reach, or at least at the moment. And if citizen development tools are to be made available to people who are not within IT, it's really important that people who are not within IT are able to get involved in this step and really be able to share their vision and some of their own concerns about citizen development from their own perspective, and not just have this all operated by IT because it's citizen development for the citizens. So some things to think about are, what are some current IT pain points? Are there any ways that citizen development tools could be used to alleviate some of that pain? And conversely, think about some of the pain points that the business is having with certain processes or applications that they're using. Are there opportunities for citizen development to help there? Another really easy way to start thinking about quick wins with citizen development is to evaluate what people are asking for. Are there a lot of requests for pieces of functionality or reports or things that are just on the backlog, but maybe IT hasn't gotten to it, or they're very specific to one particular group and not beneficial to the organization as a whole? Really good candidates for citizen development. And another way to look at this is, if you think back a couple slides when I shared the different types of citizen development tools, if you look across the landscape, that can generate some ideas of how these different tools can play a part in your organization. Having some workshops to maybe think through some of the different platforms and applications in which those might be used to create some efficiencies or increase productivity within the organization. Next is identify. So we're not so naive to think that this is like tabula rasa in your organization. If you don't have any citizen development today, you probably have something, and maybe you're not thinking about it as citizen development, because the concept, while the term is new and maybe a bit buzzy, it's not at all. And we've had workflow for a long time. And remember Mr. Macro, those things that he was adding to Excel workbooks or PowerPoint? That also is, in a way, considered citizen development. Those are what many are calling user-defined applications, or UDAs. And those UDAs can have serious ramifications that they're not available to your business users, and as such, become sort of citizen development initiatives on their own. So when you're thinking about what is currently out there, it's not just, well, what are we using on these quote-unquote citizen development platforms that are labeled as such, but all of these sort of business-owned applications. It could be info platforms, SharePoint Designer workflows, again, macros that are sitting in other types of UDAs. I'm really getting an inventory of what's out there that needs to be modernized. Identifying different teams that have built these things, identifying the people who have built these things, and then interviewing them, what has been their experience so far, pros and cons, the different systems that you have available. A lot of applications like Salesforce or your ERP have citizen development capabilities in them. You may not be using them, so this is a good thing to look at what is already out there, and is there more value that you could be getting out of these tools, and maybe what does that licensing look like? And start, of course, writing down some of your requirements here of things that you want to do, and some of them can be long-term. That's all fine. So we're really just trying to elicit ideas from diverse sources at this point. And then the third step of the discover stage is assess. And we're going to go back and look over all of that data and information that we've gathered so far and turn it into some knowledge about what it is that we want to do with citizen development. So identifying citizen developers or initial citizen developers, understanding their experience, how do they like to learn, what have they learned already. Something really important here I'm big on is organizational change management. What has worked well in the organization, maybe what hasn't worked well, just really trying to think through all parts of how this would be launched, not just what citizen development is, but how it's going to exist in your organization. And then moving into IT, some of the things you'll want to assess there are who's going to be able to support this solution? How much bandwidth do they have? Thinking that there might be more support needed, particularly upfront as we're starting this for the first time, and as citizen developers become more comfortable with the tools, then IT can gradually back off. Are there current items that, this goes back to the IDA, that they're really focused on being able to prove out the point here? And how practical is it that IT can actually get involved in maintaining or building some of these solutions, or do we really want this to be completely citizen-led or business-led? Now that we've made it through the three steps, I'll hand it over to Joe to step us through the design phase. Joe?
Thank you, Britt. So coming out of discovery, you're going to have a lot of information, a lot of outputs, and now it's time to take all of that and work to define what your citizen development initiative is going to look like in your organization. So step one of this is to look at what strategy you have around citizen development. But first, a poll question. Kelly?
Awesome. So our first, well, second poll is going to be, has your organization formalized its strategy around citizen development? No, but we probably should. It's in process. Sort of, we have some broad guidelines and an informal roadmap. Or yes, we have a formal documented strategy and roadmap. So I'll give a few seconds here for everyone to click their answers. So it looks like a strong 57% no, but we probably should. 33% with it's in process. 10% with sort of. And a shocking 0% with, yes, we do have a formal documented strategy and roadmap. Wow, Joe, what do you think about that?
And honestly, because citizen development is still, in a sense, very, not new concept, but it's still very new from a formalized perspective, this isn't surprising. And I think as more organizations learn the value, especially as we talk about this a bit more, you'll start to see those numbers shift, I think, in the next few years, without a doubt. So let's talk about strategy. So coming out of discovery, you want to take all the information you gathered, and the first step, the most important step in this process, is to craft a vision statement that you can share with your organization that really defines why you're taking this journey, and as well as allows you to set goals that can then be measured going forward as to how citizen development is deployed in your organization and how it's going to affect everything you do in sort of your day-to-day business operations. You want to be able to understand to not only get a return on your investment, but to be able to actually look at your citizen development initiative and measure it and monitor it and say, yes, this is successful, or no, you know, maybe we need to refine this. Coming out of discovery, you've probably also identified risks that may be involved in citizen development, and those could be, you know, just users who aren't well trained or lack of knowledge around the technologies that are involved in citizen development. And this stage is a great opportunity to assess what those risks are and put in the plans to be able to mitigate those to have a successful rollout to your organization. Also, hopefully in discovery, you've at least started to identify who your citizen developers might be, but this is also the right opportunity to understand who those citizen developers are, as well as get a better understanding of what their skill sets are to craft into your strategy to ensure that they will be successful when they're creating their own solutions. And also, you can look at your past technology rollouts. You know, you've probably had some that weren't successful in the past. What were the lessons learned? You know, how can those lessons be incorporated into the strategy for citizen development to make sure those mistakes won't be repeated in the future? Another key component of citizen development is certainly the technology. You want to ensure that your citizen developers have tools that are going to be easy to use, and that they'll be able to pick up with the least amount of training possible. But beyond that, looking at who's gonna own these tools, who is going to support these tools, and what are we gonna do with any tools that are out there today that citizen developers may be using that you might not even know about. Shadow IT is certainly something that has existed as long as I've been in the industry, and finding ways to put guardrails around what your citizen developers do is going to be one of the keys to success to any technology solution you implement. When you go to tool selection, there are a lot of things to consider, not just, you know, ease of use, but looking at how secure those tools will allow your data to be, how secure they are, and what data can be accessed from, you know, you may have a tool that accesses multiple different data sources. Making sure that whatever your users do put together doesn't endanger your organization and keeps all of your end users safe as well. Looking at licensing, some tools, they can be expensive. I'm not gonna lie to you. They can run a very large budget. And, you know, when you're doing a tool selection, understanding, you know, is this tool gonna cost me more than it would to actually do custom development? Because in some cases that may be very true. Going through an analysis, comparing apples to apples and oranges to oranges to ensure that you're not overspending on any citizen development tool and not realizing your return on investment for any solutions that are developed is important. Looking at how extensive it is, and as well as how extendable it is. You know, you don't want a tool that necessarily just does one thing. You know, maybe it's just a small little workflow engine and it has no other, you know, features to it. Choosing a platform that can perform multiple different functions is going to definitely drive your return on investment long term. And you want to make sure it's extendable. You want to ensure that any tool you pick can connect to the data sources you need to connect to, but also anything in the future you might want to connect to as well. And then after selecting your technology, you know, it's time to take a look at setting up your center of excellence around those tools. Getting the infrastructure in place, getting the monitoring of the tool in place, and getting your administrators and IT support up to the level they will need to not only support the platform, but to begin to support your citizen developers as well. And then finally, installing it and configure it and getting it out the door. So what does it take to support your citizen developers? We've identified sort of four key areas that will allow your center of excellence to be able to give the training and guidance and support long-term to your citizen developers to ensure their success, which in turn will ensure the center of excellence success as well. So first, looking at people. You know, you want to ensure that your center of excellence is able to engage with the business to allow also the citizen developers to engage with the business, because those are where the solutions are going to come from. You want to ensure that those citizen developers are well-trained, they're well-educated, not just, you know, the first time. These tools and these platforms are going to change in many cases very rapidly. So ensuring that your center of excellence can help your citizen developers understand new features, new functionality, will definitely allow their knowledge to grow and will make them very successful when they're developing these applications and supporting these applications in some instances. You also want to ensure that your power users and to a greater extent, ensuring that business collaboration between IT and business is in place, because that synergy is important to ensure the success of the center of excellence. They need to be able to reach out, not just to citizen developers, but across the organization as well. From a technology perspective, you know, your center of excellence is going to be really responsible for administering the platform, defining the standards, best practices, and governance around the tool set you've selected. And they're also going to be responsible for managing the licenses, managing any sort of client applications that are part of the tool set. You want to ensure that your center of excellence team understands as many aspects of the technology that you've selected, because they're going to be the ones supporting this and driving its adoption across the organization. From a process perspective, you know, you're going to get a lot of ideas from end users, from the business, and those really should be sent to the Center of Excellence first to ensure that they can be reviewed, that they can be, that as these citizen developed solutions are deployed and monitored, that they will have some governance around them. You don't want necessarily the Wild West for your citizen developers. You don't want to just throw a tool at them and say good luck. Ensuring that you have processes in place from that stem out of your Center of Excellence is a key success driver for making sure these solutions are supportable and do provide value to the business. And that also goes hand in hand with metrics. So your Center of Excellence should be gathering as much information that they can get from this platform to ensure that your return on investment is exactly what you wanted. This isn't an inexpensive proposition sometimes. You know, you're going to be training a lot of citizen developers who may come and go, and you want to make sure you're getting the most bang for your buck. In addition, you want to make sure that as your citizen developers are creating these solutions, using these solutions, that you will understand what they're doing, when they're doing it, and why they're doing it. You know, you don't necessarily want a user creating a connection out to Twitter, for example, and then finding out that they've been shuffling all of your proprietary business data to their Twitter feed. So knowing how these applications work and what they're connecting to and being able to audit that is extremely important for any center of excellence. And it also will help protect your business in the long term.
So thanks, Joe. There's so much that we could talk about COEs. I mean, this very easily could be its own presentation. So we're going to move on to the last phase three of deliver. Step one, delivering is pilot. So we talked in the last presentation how to identify some good candidates for early initiatives in citizen development or for pilots. And we're not going to rehash that here. Have you gone through the other six steps at this point? There should be some things that seem to be coming to the top as good suggestions to begin with a pilot. So you want to think through those phases too, specifically when it comes to the pilot, maybe do a mini six steps. So because piloting, and I think a lot of the steps in this deliver phase are cyclical. You want to pilot early and often. This isn't we're going to pilot and never come back again. And I'll mention that a few times, but you could almost run through the previous six steps here again. Discover, identify what's being piloted. So you've come up with a backlog of some ideas. You don't want to take on too much at once. You don't want to just launch all of these citizen development tools all at once. That's no bueno. Thinking about something that's really manageable and digestible that can be actually focused on a goal. What is going to be the goal of the pilot? And then in define, understanding what the success criteria of the pilot. This is something I don't see very often, is trying to understand when do we give this a go light to go green light to go to the enterprise. So understanding the multiple success criteria for the pilot. And I cannot stress the third bullet here enough. The pilot should address more than technology. It should leverage training materials, the COE, and planned communications as much as possible to elicit feedback. So I've seen time and time again where an organization wants to pilot a piece of technology or an application, and they just put it in front of people and say, let's see if they can do E, F, and G with this, and we'll give them really close support, we'll handhold them through the process, but that's not real life. And if we're doing a pilot, we really want to understand how this is going to work in the real world. We want to be able to pilot communications and training and support options, as well as the technology for teams. And considering that as part of a pilot and as part of the success criteria is really going to be critical for the ongoing success of your citizen development initiatives or any type of technology that you're piloting in your company. And this is also a good time on that end to introduce the citizen development community, if you haven't already, to have that grassroots support, be able to come up and have people ask one another questions or to provide one another feedback and to be able to see, rather than having it come through some more official one-way mirror type observation, which I often see too with pilots, to have the people who are participating in this pilot really be the start of a community as we begin to move this into the enterprise, which then brings us to rollouts. And this is, I'm glad I get to talk about this phase because this is really all the fun stuff, right? We're piloting and now we're getting ready and we want to get people excited. And we've met the success criteria, we've achieved our pilot. Now we just want to do some checks that our infrastructure is ready to go. We've addressed some of those big risks that we talked about way back at the beginning. We're feeling good. Now let's think about all of the change management that's happening around the technology. We want to get people excited, maybe come up with some branding or an initial competition to get people interested and activated on this. I would recommend only rolling out the technology that has been proven in the pilot. So if there are templates, connectors, data sets that are available for your citizen developers to use, that's wonderful. You ought to have these things. Make sure that they've gone through a pilot first so you can feel confident about putting them in front of more people. And lastly, providing white glove support for the initial, however much time makes sense for your group or how much technology you're also enabling at a time. You want to scale that appropriately before your IT resources can kind of disappear or begin on their next pilot to be able to provide that white glove support for the next group of users. There's going to be questions. There are going to be need for some more hand-holding at the beginning. And just having those resources can really help make the difference between make or break and knowing that, yes, this is a partnership and the business is in this together with IT, and IT is there to enable and also encourage the use of these tools. Which brings us to step nine of nine, we made it, empower. And this is not a step, this is more of a, I hate to say a plateau, but it's continuous. We want to empower constantly. We want to have people feel that they can use these tools and also understanding that, as we mentioned and Joe spoke to as well after the second poll, some of these things are nascent and they are going through updates frequently. There are new technologies that are coming out, improvements that are coming out, right? Most of these tools are based in the cloud, and so having control over the update cycle is something that's going to come with the subscription and making sure that we have a readiness plan for it when it happens, or that as an organization, you've piloted some new template, or you want to start doing more with chatbots and you've done a chatbot pilot and now you want to roll that out. And so empowering people and making sure that they have the resources that they need to use these tools. Incentives, again, incentives are great to be able to get people involved and excited about this and to try to help them understand the value of why it is that your company has made an investment in citizen development. Having citizen development champions, either at a local level or a functional level. Think about way back at the beginning when we talked about Mr. Macro. Mr. Macro is a good person to come and step in here as a citizen development champion. And creating a culture of continuous learning. So we could see having an internal certification path, ways to get trained, having people really owning the citizen development as citizen developers and not expecting this to always come from IT. Broadcast successes. We want to be able to share the value and prove the value of the citizen development tools. Having a newsletter that talks about some recent wins, lunch and learns where we step through demonstrations of what some teams have done, ideating sessions to be able to brainstorm ideas about how these tools can better enhance the day-to-day operations within a business unit. Competitions and incentives. This could be something like the first person to make a chatbot or a chatbot that has a certain number of users, or have people vote on what they think has been one of the better initiatives that has been developed within a business. Early adopters, perhaps some sort of incentive for them. Additions and updates, as I mentioned, these tools are not static. They are continuing to get updated, and it shouldn't just be from the provider, the developer. It should be internal to IT as well. So the ability on a lot of these to create widgets that connect to CRM to be able to pull down certain data sets, or to have a template for a particular smart form or a branding that you can use, having notifications when these new assets are available and having an intake to be able to communicate what is needed and make sure that there is that constant communication and partnership between IT and business. And lastly, the TLC of your COE. So we are going to finish this on a note about governance, because as much as empowerment is an ongoing step and phase, an ongoing step for citizen development, it is hand in hand with COE. So in addition to making sure that people are having the time and the resources that they need to perform citizen development activities, we need to also make sure that IT and anybody else who's participating in this also has the time and support and resources that they need to continue to manage this. COE is not, we're going to set this up and come up with our strategy and configure everything and never look at it again. The COE is constantly evolving, that it should have feedback loops within it. It should, as Joe mentioned, have metrics and administration that is being performed, and as part of a part of being folded into the routine of your IT group to be able to manage this ongoing. So if the business is focusing on being empowered, the IT group should be focusing on overseeing the COE to make sure that the empowerment is still there for everybody who is sitting in the business and using and consuming these tools. Right, on to our next steps. The more steps, you just gave me 9 steps, and I know we're supposed to get 10,000 steps a day, but I am nearly wiped out. This was a lot of information. It's very easy to sit here and talk about these 9 steps in the 45 minutes we've been presenting so far, but how does this actually work in real life? How do I get started with all of this? So we want to just take a moment here, and Joe's going to step you through some different ways that we've seen citizen development governance models being played out at organizations.
So this is an easy first step, is taking a look at your organization at a high level and understanding where you think you may want to go in your citizen development journey. And this is maybe a bit misleading, because while you can have a center of excellence model that empowers your citizen development, there's no hard and fast rule that you even have to do citizen development, honestly. You know, a lot of these low-code and no-code tools can just as easily be centrally managed by your internal IT department. Here at Centric, we've seen both models being embraced, and that's okay. The goal is to make your lives easier with how you develop solutions and get them to your end users. And beyond just either a center of excellence model or even a centrally managed model, you know, you may not have the internal knowledge or skill set to be able to deploy and handle these tools. And at that point, it is okay to call on a third party to come in and help you. So based on whichever direction you think you may go in your citizen development journey, there are options for you.
I think we'll move into our Q&A now. Thank you, Joe and Britt, for all that insightful information. So we'll move on to our first question. Is a center of excellence composed of IT staff and business users both? If so, what is a typical ratio of business to IT people?
I'll go ahead and take that one. I think typically what we tend to see is the center of excellence beginning with IT, because you're going to have the resources that have the knowledge and ability to install the tool set, manage the tool set. But beyond that, I think it tends to also branch out into different aspects of the business. I've seen, you know, marketing users brought in for things like branding and theming and ensuring a consistent look and feel across the organization. Maybe financial users who may want to structure reporting a certain way. So I think it tends to generally begin in IT, but it can branch out very quickly once the rest of the organization understands what these tools are for and who they're meant to service.
Our next question is, should system development budgets be considered or appropriated separately from regular IT budgets? And who are the typical champions or owners of the funding?
I guess I'll take that. That is a complex question, and I have to give you a consulting answer, which is it depends. It's going to depend on your organization and how things have similar work has been done. I think because of the general costs of some of these platforms, they may be sponsored by IT, but then additional licensing if they're needed for particular applications or workflows would be funded through the business that's requiring that additional license cost is one particular model. But I think this is something that's discussed in the original define step as you're going through and thinking about risks and what your assessment of the landscape is going to be. These are going to be some tough conversations about where that funding is going to come from and how it's going to be split. And a lot of it might be dependent on the tool or tools that are going to be selected and who is going to be using those primarily.
Joe, I think this may be a good one for you. Is the Center of Excellence led by IT?
It doesn't have to be. It's really going to depend. I think when you go back to your vision statement, when you're defining your strategy, and you start to look at the ownerships of the technology, I think that is going to help drive who actually owns the Center of Excellence. Typically, we do see IT owning it just due to the fact that it tends to be more technology driven than anything else, especially, you know, if you're doing citizen development, maybe you have a platform and IT owns that platform and they will drive the installation configuration and deployment of that platform to the citizen developers. There's a tendency to just make IT the owner, but it certainly doesn't have to be. You know, if you look at a, you know, self-service business intelligence, for example, that can be owned by, you know, your financial services. I've seen that in the past as well, where they will own that platform, they will own support of that platform, and they will own the center of excellence around that platform. It doesn't have to be IT, but it tends to be IT.
Thank you, Joe. Britt, you might know this one best. Do you see companies performing tool selections for citizen development or using what they already have?
I think it's a mix. Sometimes there'll be a need for a particular use case, and there might be a purchasing decision involved. Sometimes it's, well, we have these tools, they're baked into something that we're already paying for as a baseline, so let's see what we can do with them. We should be trying to get the most value out of our investments that we already have, and trying to come up with ways to evaluate the usage of what's out there, and really coming up with going through these nine steps with what's already there and then seeing maybe where they fall short, or eventually consolidating on a platform or two that meets the needs of all citizen development. And I think overlapping with many of the things that Joe has been talking about, there isn't necessarily a single COE, that there could be business units, like she mentioned about business intelligence application being owned by the financial group. Well, there could be a enterprise workflow application or RPA that's being owned by a different group because they have a specific use case for it. And that's okay. I think understanding from an IT what is out there and why and who's using it and when, and trying to come up with a single strategy across all of that, but then maybe you have this kind of hub and spoke model of a general COE about citizen development, and then these more tool-specific or use-case-specific COEs are sprouting up for particular tool sets like RPA versus business analytics, fairly different in how they're going to be consumed and how maybe you want to have people being onboarded to it. And I know I've gotten off that question a little bit, but I think it's just to say it depends on your strategy if you want to go all in with a particular vendor or if you have specific use cases for specific tools for specific business units. It will depend on where you are on that journey.
And then kind of bouncing off, you know, COE and departments and such, how many people typically make up a Center of Excellence?
I'll give the consulting answer again. That depends. And the reason that depends is it's going to, first of all, depend on how your COE is structured, what services you've defined to provide to your citizen developers. You know, are you just going to give training? Are you actually going to help them support these applications? Do you need administrators? Do you need, there's a lot of different roles that can comprise a COE, and it's also going to scale depending on how large your organization is. If you are going to provide training to, you know, your end users, one person for 25,000 people is probably not going to be enough. Or if you do decide to do that, you're going to be training, you know, the organization for a very long time. It does depend, but defining, you know, specific roles based on the services you're going to provide through your COE, and then scaling appropriately based on the size of your organization will determine how big it gets.
What are some approaches or options for mitigating all the risks of citizen development?
I think it's understanding what your risk tolerance is and going through an exercise of understanding the appetite of your organization and configuring the tools appropriately. This is probably an area, and it pains me to say it as a technologist, but you may want to err on the side of caution and being a little bit conservative and have people prove that they're capable of using these tools in a way that is enabling and safe. And then you can open it up a little bit more as more training is given. And maybe some of those, a lot of these platforms too, will allow you to determine who can access what. So you could give certain connectors to certain groups and not to others, higher permissions or privileges to certain users and not to others. Thinking back to Mr. Macro, we may want to enable Mr. Macro with some more functionality in some of these tools than we do to somebody who hasn't had such a robust background and hasn't been able to show their stripes on the tool. So this is where having like an internal credentialing process could be helpful. But I think a lot of it's just about trust that this is going to be something different. And if you think about the worst case scenario and accounting for that not happening, there might be some bumps along the way, of course, that you can adjust for. And really thinking about the governance. I mean, I've seen so many times, not just with citizen development, but with other platforms too, where it's like people either turn everything on and they don't even realize that now external people can come into an environment and play around with data, or that they've locked everything down and even sending an email becomes a very cumbersome process. And then, you know, everything is going to be somewhere in between.
Awesome. Thank you, Britt. And it looks like we might have time for about one more question. Joe, I think you would know this one pretty well. What's a reasonable time frame for having a COE up and running in a stable manner?
I mean, once you have your tool set chosen, implemented, training your administrators, at least initially, I would say about, you know, you give them, you know, at least a few weeks to get up to speed initially on the software training. I would say, you know, a good 3 to 4 months for a small organization, just because there's a lot that's going to have to go into it initially, right? And that's just to get even your first citizen developer onboarded. I would say 3 to 4 months, and that's for a small organization. For larger organizations, it may take much longer, just because there may be a lot of voices with a lot of opinions of what this should actually be. Versus in a small organization, there may be less consternation across the board. You know, I say 3 to 4 months, but this isn't a process that you should rush either. Taking your time, making sure that people understand what they're using, what they're developing, what they're deploying is extremely important, because it'll give them confidence going forward in whatever they make, as well as allowing you to sleep at night knowing that they're not deploying anything that's going to break your organization.
Awesome. Thank you, Joe. If you still have questions that weren't answered, or maybe you think about it later and you have some and you'd like to talk with our experts offline, you can email at us at collab@centricconsulting.com. Follow us on our social media and our website, where we post lots of content around citizen development, COE, governance, and more. Thank you all for joining. We hope you found today's session insightful and helpful.
This has been Centric Biz and Tech Talks. Thanks to our hosts for participating today, and thank you for listening.